The message of this, the title of this message is Living in the Kingdom Light, Part 2. We are implementing something new, and that is trying to keep me within a 30-minute chain. So I'm going to go over this quite quickly. And if you don't get it, get the CD, because it records everything. But last week we were talking about how the kingdom of God is a kingdom of light, and how important it is for us as the children of light to stay in the light. And we used the scripture, actually several scriptures, which I will read. 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7, saying, "This is the message He has given to us to announce to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not living in the truth, but if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin." And from that scripture, I said there was three important words in there that we have to understand. Darkness, children, and light. And we covered a little bit about the darkness, which is prophetically and symbolically representative of ignorance or something hidden or something secretive. Do we remember that? We were children in the darkness. And we saw the marvelous light, and it drew us to Jesus Christ because we had heard the glorious gospel. And I've been telling you for months that Satan's big plan is to keep us from being saved. If he can't keep us from being saved, he will keep us in the darkness of who we are. And I think we're coming to that place of believing who we are in what God says. So he is slowly losing the battle or the control of God's children more and more as we spend more and more time in His Word. And from there, if he can't keep us ignorant of who we are in Christ Jesus, he will try to keep us ignorant of the power and authority that is ours in Christ Jesus. And I think a few of us are beginning to catch that vision as to the truth of the gospel. Amen? The final thing that he's trying to keep us ignorant of or keep us in darkness in is we have dominion. God, through Jesus Christ, has given back to us the dominion of the earth. And that earth starts with us. The kingdom of God dwells in us. Look at Luke 17, I believe it is. Luke 17, we'll start in verse 20. We're all there? And it says, "Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The kingdom of God does not come visibly, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you.'" The kingdom of heaven now dwells in you. Or what he's saying is the fullness of the kingdom. All that the kingdom is and all that the kingdom king is now dwells within you. And that has been God's plan ever since the foundations. To dwell with man and be in man. Amen? That's been his plan. If you look through the scriptures, you can see how God has made this come to pass. And then we continued on with some of the other scriptures. 1 John 5:19 saying, "We know we are the children of God, that the world around us is under the power and control of the evil one." And we spoke about some of the things that Satan does to cause us to focus our attention on each other, not the spiritual dark influences that create the situations that we find ourselves in. Because, you know, we are willing participants. And I don't know about you, but I am not one of those type of individuals that after I shoot my toe off, I can grow another one back. And so I'm really careful after I've lost one foot full of toes not to shoot the other foot. Amen? And this is what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to stay ignorant of the greater possibilities or the potential that God has placed into each and every one of us. We have such an untapped resource within us that Satan would rather have us fight and bicker and complain and yell and scream and accuse and cuss at each and every one of us. Because after all, you're the problem that I have. Instead of focusing that I'm the problem that everyone else has. Amen? And so what Satan will do is keep us ignorant, keep us in darkness to that spiritual reality. And there are people out there that do not believe that there is a spiritual world out there that has spiritual darkness to it. Because God is light and God is so wonderful. And Satan is just a fallen angel who is Jesus' brother who comes to fight for control of the new heavenly throne that will come into existence. That's what the Mormons believe. Or, there is no devil because Jesus came and visited us in 1917 or maybe 1923 or maybe 1935 or maybe 1945 or maybe 1953. But whenever he visited us, he gave us additional revelation. And so, we are the proctors of this revelation. They are the Jehovah's Witnesses. Propagating a false gospel for the manipulation and control of God's people. And we saw in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god of this evil world, and that he has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so that they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news that is shining upon them. They don't understand the message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. And I've said to you before that we know that Satan wants to control us. He wants to manipulate us. But we have to be the ones that have to come to understand that we do not come to the light of God because we don't want our sin exposed. And remember I said last week that as long as there's darkness, we cannot tell what is good and what is evil. Well, some of us would rather pretend that we don't know what's good and evil because we choose to stay in darkness instead of choosing to bask in the glory of God and know what the reality of our calling and who He is in this fullness. If we stay in darkness, we have no fear of God. And I think that is the biggest problem in the Church of America today. There is no fear of God. Because if there was a fear of God, we would not be perpetuating our sin. We would not be perpetuating our ignorance. We would not be perpetuating our behaviors into the next generation. Just look at the government. If the government was a godly government, it would adhere to the principles that God has set forth to govern man and keep a balanced budget. And as I said to you before, I listened to one of the chief accountants of the General Accounting Office of the United States, which is, it correlates everything that the United States spends. And I have said to you that our indebtedness as a nation is not the $7 trillion that they are publicizing. It is $53 to $54 trillion dollars indebtedness. And that works out to roughly that each and every one of us owes the government about $400,000. Let that one sink in a little bit. And we owe the King of Glory much, much more. Which brings us to what I was not able to get to last week, but I have plenty of time. Light. Light. Do you know that it's impossible for light and darkness to share the same time and space? I tried. I sat at my, stood at my office and I flicked on and off that light. And I can't make darkness and light stay at the same time, because in that split second, darkness goes. Or when I shut the switch off, it comes. And I've shared this fact that light travels at 186,000 miles per second, that it is capable of going around the world 8.5 times at the speed of light. And God is faster than light. So if I can give you an inkling why the Holy Spirit can be at all places at all times. And these are scientific facts. Except the last one I gave you is a truth. That is Scripture. Because the Bible says, at no time has man seen God. Because at that time that man sees God, he would die. God is so glorious, His light is so glorious, that we would be incinerated the moment we come into His glory. And the reason why I say that is Moses sought God. He sought His glory. And God said to him, you know, I'm going to put you in a cleft of the rock, and I'm going to put my hand over you, and all my goodness or all my glory is going to pass before you, and you'll be able to see the after effects or see me from behind. And Moses shone, his face shone from the glory of God. Has anybody ever met somebody that once they've come out of their prayer closet, their face actually radiated? I've met people like that. Just radiated God. And that's how God wants us to be. Jesus said, you know, you're a city on a hill. We're all men are looking. Jesus said, you know, there's a light that you put under a basket. Lift up that basket and let the whole world light up. Light symbolizes goodness, holiness, truth, purity, revelation, beauty, and security. And so much more. God is light because it radiates from Him. When I was caught up in the Spirit the first time I met Jesus, I could not see His face, because in the Spirit was the only way I could see Him, and His face radiated brighter than the sun. But I knew it was the Lord because of the words that He spoke to my spirit. And I cried in His presence. How many of us have tried to look at the sun? We all tried, right? How many of us have looked at the sun with our eyes fully on it? It's hard, right? You gotta like turn away, because after a second or two, it just hurts your eyes. Now you need some sort of filter or some sort of lens in order to look at the sun, thereby you're able to see the circular things. And Paul says, we look into glory through a dark glass dimly, or it's filtered, because our eyes cannot see the Lord in these physical realms. We just can't. Our eyes can't. It has to be the Lord. I've seen the Lord several times where He has changed the frequency of my eyes that I could see Him. And He's more beautiful than the first time I saw Him. I've just fallen more and more in love with Him. light. We don't come to the light, why? Because we love our sin. We don't come to the light because we're afraid of what God may see. Well, God already knows what He sees. That's why He came and died on the cross for us. And He sees you from His perspective, already completed in glory. The problem is the church and individuals in the church have such low self-esteem that we would rather believe the lie and stay in the darkness and do evil things than to stand and bask in God's glory and have Him wash away all that to change us from glory to glory. You see, it's going to cost you, church, and I've told you guys, it's going to cost you to be a Christian. It's real easy to profess to be a Christian, but to be a Christian in these days, it's going to cost you everything that you are and everything that you have. Because you don't own anything, and even the very breath, the next one that you take, God gives to you. Every heartbeat, God is in control. You can expire right now, which would be great because we'll lay hands on you and we'll ask God to bring your spirit back. Because I'm looking for them days. Light, darkness. We have to understand that Paul says, or John says, that because we're not in the light, we can't say that we have fellowship one with another. And you've heard me use the terminology transparency. I love you guys irregardless. And hopefully you love me back irregardless. The difference between you and me is, I'm not going to make excuses. I hear what people say. I go before the Lord. I repent. I want to change. I do not want my flesh, my sinful character, to exude itself. I want the character of Jesus Christ to emanate from me at all times. I abhor the sinful flesh. What is it that God has said to you that you know you need to be doing, but you're not doing? Because that would require you coming into His light and being exposed. You see, my Bible tells me, sin is pleasurable and it's only for a season, but be careful. Your sin will be found out. You can be slothful and not doing your best on a job, but eventually your employer is going to see that. Then you will have the privilege of being unemployed. You can be an abuser of your children and wives, but eventually you will be an abuser to yourself, because your wife and children will be removed from that abuse. You see, Satan would try to continue to influence us that everything is hunky-dory because we don't go before the Lord and we stay in His Word for our benefit. We choose darkness. Now, if God is light, and Psalms tells me that His Word is light, and we know that Jesus is the Word, then we also know that it would behoove us, that as the psalmist says, Thy Word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. It would behoove us to walk in the light and allow God to pour out the blood of His Son upon us to make us righteous and begin to do those things that He says to do so that we can influence the world with the light of the gospel and drive back the darkness that this God of this world is keeping men and women in darkness from. I talked to an individual yesterday and I basically asked him, I said, so what do you believe about Christianity? And he gave me a nice spiel about all this. And I said, well, what do you believe? And he says, I don't believe in a higher power. I believe I'm in control of everything. And I'm this and I'm that. And I'm like, and the Spirit's just saying to me, a fool says in his heart that there is no God. I didn't say that because I want to keep the doors of communication open. Nah, that would have been a bomb. That would have been a dark bomb. Not a smart bomb, but a dark bomb. But I proceeded to explain to him with one question. I said, well, you're right about one thing. You are in control because you had the right to make your decisions. I said, but who made all this stuff out here? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, let me tell you who it was. And I proceeded to preach the gospel to him in a very gentle, simple way of exposing light on his darkness, his ignorance of truth. And I was received in open arms saying, well, Pastor, I got to go out and catch a cigarette. But that's what we're dealing with, church. I've heard you guys say, well, I don't know what to say to people. But you're already witnessing to them. You already are. I don't know how to live my life before God. But you already are. It's just that your decision-making process has been darkened. You have not learned the principles of which God says will make you a success. We have learned the principles of the world that will eventually make us unsuccessful. It's not at the end how many toys I have. At the end, the call that the church has is how many souls I was able to influence, impart my life to, or impact for the kingdom of God. And that is your job too. Who is it that Satan, once the Holy Spirit has said to you, I need you to go over and talk to this person. And Satan come real fast, ah, you don't need to talk to that person. That person's all tattooed, he's rough, you know, he's like one of these biker dudes, you know. We have to get past the externals. We have to get past the place of judging people because they're different from us. We have to begin to hear God, stay in His Word, and understand that He has a greater plan for you and for me, and it isn't sitting on the sidelines. Too many of us are sitting on the sidelines hoping just to get to heaven. And I'm here to tell you that you'll sit on the sidelines until judgment day, and then you'll be sitting in the midst of the furnace because you didn't do what Christ told you to do. My Bible tells me that all those who are disobedient to the gospel or refused it will be cast out of His presence. And you can look at all the parables that talk about the faithful and unfaithful servants and stuff, and you will see a commonality that those who remain faithful, those who knew to do good and did not, no longer stayed in the presence of the King. I don't want that for us. I want us to get out there and just start sharing our lives, open up our mouths, because the moment you open up your mouth, Satan will try to close it. The moment God says, you know, I need you to do some random kindness for people, in spite of them abusing you or talking about you or even slandering you for the kingdom and for the king, we need to do those things. And I was listening to a young lady yesterday share a little bit about her testimony of a person who was making fun of her, and yet in the same token, how despicable this other young lady's lifestyle is, and how injurious that she's making it. How much pain that this young person is in, thinking that her promiscuity is going to bring her the happiness that each and every one of us is looking for. I'm here to tell you that the only way that you're going to receive that happiness and joy is not by causing a ruckus in your house. The way to that is to help people find happiness and joy through Jesus Christ, and in doing that, you will have found it. Because He's already in you, wanting to come out of you. We must be people of the light. We must be a people that is desirous. There are many false teachers and false prophets out there. And their whole system of talking to you and to me is to buy their lies, whether through purchasing books, tapes, aligning yourself up with their ministries, whatever it is. If you do not know the Word of God, how are you going to be able to tell what is the truth and what is mixed with lies? It's not my responsibility to feed you the Word of God. Because as children, adults help children to feed. But when there comes a time when the child grabs that spoon and begins to start eating for themselves, they may not know what to eat. And I know for my kids it was cereal or ice cream or something really good for them. And when it was time to eat their spinach and broccoli, they didn't want to eat it. So we force fed them. Church, I want to encourage you. You are children of the light, not the children of the corn. Candy corn. God wants you out of your comfort zones. Satan wants to lie and deceive you to stay in your comfort zones. If you don't have words to say to somebody, let the Holy Spirit give you those words. Just be obedient to do what He tells you to do. And even if it seems like it was a flop, what I have found is that your action of just moving in to the things of God, there's someone else other than that person who's watching you do something, which will in turn give them boldness to come talk to you about what's going on. You see, all of us have been searching for the same thing. All of us have been searching for peace. All of us have been searching for acceptance. All of us have been searching for joy. And we've tried to make that happen in our lives by the decisions or the things that we've acquired. And that's only temporary. But when Jesus found me, see, He wasn't lost, I was. When He found me and I found out what His life was all about, I gave myself to Him. Church, today is the day that you who have the abundant life in you can share that with Him or her in order to bring them into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I challenge you. Ministry has been opening up. I challenge you to begin to invite them. Compel them to come in. Because we don't have a lot of time. It doesn't matter how sad our home situations are. It doesn't matter because God knows. But as long as we're doing what God says and we allow Him to transform us, we have opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You are light. That You are glorious, God. And that You are faithful even when we're unfaithful. And Father, I just thank You for the ears that You've given us today, Lord God. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that You ignite our hearts like never before. That God, if we're about Your business, we know that You're about ours. And Satan, he's really done a hatchet job on us, Lord. We've paid attention to those things that are near and dear to our heart, when it should be the things that are near and dear to Your heart. God, as Spurgeon has said, that there's nothing more important than winning souls for You, Lord. I pray that You, Holy Spirit, would burn that into us, that it doesn't matter how young we are or how old we are, we all have a mouth that we can open up to for others to hear what You have done for us. Lord, I ask that You impart a spirit of boldness upon this congregation, God, that this week we would go out and we would compel them to come in, that Your house may be filled and that You receive all the glory and honor that You so rightfully deserve. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.